because we don't know how to come to God. So we pray these prayers and bring our complaints and petitions to God. And we felt shame, so we bring that to Him. And then we profess faith through the Psalms that God will answer our prayers. This type of psalm is a dominant psalm in the entire book, in the Psalter. Psalms like this are throughout the book. It typically, these types of psalms begin with a complaint or petition. Verses 1 through 12 is covered with the petition, the complaint. My enemies are coming against me. Don't let me be put to shame. It includes a description of the trouble and the suffering. Verses 16 and 19 in the chapter we did not read tells about the trouble. I'm lonely, I'm down, I'm discouraged. And also, these types of psalms include the assurance that God will hear and answer our prayers. Verses 12, verses 13 and 15 is an assurance that I believe God will answer my prayers no matter what I am going through. The fact that this type of prayer appears many times throughout the Psalter, throughout the 150 Psalms, indicates how often we should bring our troubles to God, our petitions to God. Then we should acknowledge what we are going through to God, but we also should have faith that God hears and answers our prayers. So what I want to do this morning is give us three good prayers that we can pray from this psalm, from the verses that we read. That's going to be points 2 through 4. I'm going to give you three prayers that you can and should pray. Then I want to give us a good way to actually pray them all day long as we face life. That'll be point 5. So number 2, the first prayer we should pray. Pray, God, I trust you to take care of me. That's a good prayer to pray. God, I trust you to take care of me. Verses 1 through 3. That reference, those passages indicate a dependence on God and a humility. We lift our hands towards God. That was for the Israelite a sign of humility, a sign of submission to God, a posture of prayer. So this is definitely a prayer. They would lift their hands toward God in their prayers. And by lifting their hands in prayer, they were symbolically, sacredly lifting their souls. I lift my soul to you. Say, why do we lift our hands? Well, there's something sacred about lifting our hands to God. When we sing, when we worship, sacredly, when we lift our hands, we're lifting our souls, our very being to God with outstretched hands. When we lift our hands, we lift our souls, we're being open to God's grace. We're being open to God's leadership. We're being open to God's direction. An outstretched soul does not depend upon self, but upon God. One's life outstretched to God in complete dependence upon God and upon God's help. Actively acknowledging our utter dependence upon God. To you, O Lord, I will offer my whole being. I offer my life to you, Lord. We do this from an attitude of humility. We face our problems. We face those who would shame us with an attitude of humility. Every person here, you felt shame. You in the workplace, at home. When you watch television, you felt like the enemy's putting you to shame. Well, what should be your attitude towards that? It should be an attitude of outstretched hands with a life lifted towards God in humility, trusting God to take care of you. Many people reach out toward their enemies in defiance. That's an attitude in America today. We reach out toward those who are oppressing us with defiance. But that's not the attitude the psalmist says we reach out. We reach out with humility, believing that God, you can take care of us. So I offer my life to you, Lord. And I ask God to set public opinion in order, that I would not be shamed. The psalmist has experienced the hatred of enemies. The psalmist knows that they can trust God to protect them. We live in a society when we only trust ourselves to take care of ourselves. Security is a $1 trillion business. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, and we say, that sounds good, we need more chariots and we need more horses. We have a society that lives that way. Just follow the money. More money spent on security and security. Take care of ourselves, take care of ourselves. But we need an attitude of humility that lifts our hearts and souls up to God and say, God, we trust you to take care of us. We get that attitude, I trust in myself to take care of myself, and God just becomes an extra security alarm. An extra, I got everything taken care of me, and I'll just, God's like my watchdog. But God will not be like that. God is better than any amount of self-protection that we can provide for ourselves. He's better than any power's security. I have never seen any security protocols that were foolproof, because many times they were created by fools. I don't know if I should say that or not. But we trust in the Lord. Even if it turns out bad, we still trust in the Lord, because we trust Him to transform the bad into good. So God, I trust you to take care of me. That's a good prayer to pray. Number three. You can pray these prayers. This is just not a points in a sermon. These are actually prayers you can pray tomorrow. You know, when the boss comes at you and he's mad, or she's mad. And you go, Lord, I trust you to take care of me. Here's another good prayer you can pray. Number three, pray, God, please direct and teach me. God, please direct and teach me. Verses 4 and 5 teaches us this. The psalmist's dependence on God, the psalmist's trust in God, is intended to lead to a right way of life. Guide me, teach me, direct me. Psalms 25 links God's help, that God will take care of us, with God's instruction and guidance. They're connected. The psalmist asks for both God's protection and direction. That's how many times God protects us, is by giving us good advice, direction, and leading. That's usually some of the best help we can get. Your parents tried to give you good advice and direction to help you, but you were 16. And you could not be helped. That won't happen to our teenagers when they get 16, right? James is going, that's right. Because we will listen to good direction and advice. The soul lifted up to the Lord does not distinguish between God's saving power and God's teaching, God's direction. Lord, help me, but don't direct me, is what many people pray. Lord, help, but don't direct. I got the direction taken care of, Lord, if you could just help me out. But to prosper in God is to be open to and eager to God's instructions. And God's ways may be difficult, I'm not saying they won't be. They may be counterintuitive. They may be even absurd to our way of thinking. Luke chapter 10, a religious scholar comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to teach him, "What must I do to gain to have eternal life?" So Jesus begins to teach him. The bottom line in that story is you love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that doesn't satisfy the religious scholar. He says, "Well, okay, well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus teaches him this absurd story about the Good Samaritan. And that just goes against everything that Jewish religious scholar had been taught since he was a child. Because sometimes God's direction seems absurd to us. What do you mean a good Samaritan? There's no such thing as a good Samaritan. They're national enemies. We hate the Samaritans. That's like a Jewish person today saying a good Palestinian. Who says that? Absurd, absurd. God still says absurd things to us from our way of thinking. Things that are countercultural, but God's paths may run counter to our best thinking, and that's okay, because God's truth will challenge and contradict our best thinking, and that's okay. God's instructions comes from prayer, from connecting with Him, rather than just our human studies. They come from God rather than human wisdom and human teachers. Although we need human wisdom and human teachers, those are both needed and helpful, and that would be foolish of me to say we do not need them. But I do say reason and common sense are insufficient in themselves to connect with God. To prosper in God is to trust God, to trust His Holy Spirit, to trust His Word, to trust His leading and teaching, to receive His help, to receive what He has to teach us by His Holy Spirit, receiving the help that comes from God's instructing us through prayer. So a good prayer to pray is, "God, please direct me and teach me." Number four. Here's a good prayer to pray. Pray, "God, don't remember my sins." That's a good prayer to pray there. "But remember me lovingly." God, don't remember my sins, but remember me lovingly. Verses 6 through 10. We pray for direction from God. God, lead me, guide me, direct me. And when we do that, we realize that we have not been going the right direction. We haven't been going God's direction. So what do we have to do? We have to confess, "God, I have not been going the right direction." And when we realize we haven't been going the right direction, we feel guilt because we have not been going God's way. And we feel the haunting of that. The sins of our past haunt us. So what do? Well, you pray that God directs you, that He leads you. You confess, and then after we've done this, pray that God has selective memory. Can you do that? Well, the psalmist did. If it's in the Bible, I guess you can do it, right? "Forget my sins. Don't remember my transgressions." Now, don't pray that if you're not following His directions. Most people pray, "God, forget the thing I'm about to do." No, that's not what you pray. We've been directed by God, and now we got this guilt haunting us. But after you've been directed by God, you're more than welcome to pray, and you're encouraged to pray by the Scriptures, "God, do not remember my past sins. God, forget my transgressions." The teacher to whom we look for instruction, we say, "Forget our past sins and remember your mercy." forget what I did and remember who you are. That's a great prayer to pray. Remember me according to your steadfast love. I don't think NIV put steadfast love in there. It should have. It's good. Remember me according to your steadfast love for the sake of your goodness. God is asked to remember God's own goodness. Remember your own goodness, God. Remember your own love, God, because your love, your goodness, your faithfulness is from everlasting. Your love, your goodness, your faithfulness is of old. The saying would have been for the psalmist, from the very beginning. The reason God created the universe is because that's who He is. He creates out of His goodness and His love. That's who He is. So remember who you are. And forget the psalmist's youthful sins, which are not that old, which are in my past. The psalmist asked specifically for God to recall mercy and steadfast love. Steadfast love, that word in the Hebrew. I know you love the Hebrew. Here we go. Hesed. Steadfast love is hesed in the Hebrew. It means, hesed means God's covenant faithfulness. God's loving agreement. Loving agreement. I like that for covenant. God, remember me because you've made a loving agreement with your goodness, with your faithfulness. That's what you signed the agreement with. The psalmist has in mind God's goodness to Israel after the exodus from Egypt. The psalmist would have grown up reading the stories of Israel. So he uses many words from Exodus 34, which the psalmist would have been very familiar with. He uses the phrase hesed, steadfast love. He uses the phrase faithfulness. He uses the phrase covenant, which are all in Exodus chapter 34. So the psalmist has Exodus 34 in mind as he's pinning the words to Psalms 25. Exodus 34 is when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses again, to Israel again, for the second time. You remember Moses came down the mountain the first time with the Ten Commandments, if you remember this story in growing up in church. And you remember what the people were doing when he brought it down the first time? Yeah, they made that false god, that golden calf, and they were worshiping and dancing and having a party in front of this golden calf. And God's got the Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other god. Hey, fellas, look what I got. Hey, ladies, look. Oh, man. And he slams them down like, oh, they broke them before I could even get down the mountain. So the psalmist has that in mind when he writes Psalms 25. And he says the reason we can confess and receive forgiveness is because of God's loving agreement, God's faithfulness to the covenant. Not our faithfulness to the covenant, but His faithfulness to His loving agreement. Exodus 34 tells us how God forgave Israel for making the golden calf. That's what Exodus 34 is about. The golden calf, that episode, was the original sin of the nation of Israel. And even after they went through that, Israel discovered that God is merciful, is gracious, is slow to anger, is abounding in steadfast love, His loving agreement, and He is faithful. And when the psalmist is sitting down writing Psalms 25, he's remembering the character of God. God should have wiped us out because of what we did. But He didn't. He kept us because that's who He is. He's remembering the character of God. So God, we pray that you do not remember the sins of our youth. God, we pray that you do not remember our golden calf moments, and we've had quite a few. Instead, remember us in accordance with your steadfast love, your loving agreement. Divine mercy is why we can ask for forgiveness. All your ways, all your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness. Verse 10 says, all your directions are steadfast love, our loving agreement and faithfulness. Our paths are not. Our paths, we go astray. But God, you're always steadfast love. You're always faithful. I believe God's attitude towards sin is to forgive it. I believe that. I believe that. Sometimes that's not my attitude towards sin, at least in somebody else. But I believe God's direction, his path towards sin and sinners is to forgive it and forgive them. That's what he desires to do. So we confess our sins, we receive his forgiveness, and we pray, God, don't remember my sins, but remember me lovingly. And number 5, pray to God all day long. Pray to God all day long. Verse 5 says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So pray to God all day long. That's easy enough. Do that and you'll be all right. See, I don't know how to do that. I try it and, you know, I have to go to work and I have to check Facebook and then I forget. I have to check Instagram. I have to post a picture and I have to like 12 pictures. So I forget. Well, I'd like to help us today. I'd like to help us to pray all day long. I want to tell you something I did. I didn't even mean to do it. It just started happening, and then all of a sudden I realized I was doing this, and it became a habit, and I've been doing it for a couple of months now. I started praying during my transitions. That's why I entitled this Transition Prayer. Every time I, well, not every time, that's not legalistic. I'm not, I try to. When I have a transition in my day, I pray these types of prayers. Every time I transition from one activity to the next, I pray these types of prayers. Not just pray, I pray prayers. God, I trust you to take care of me. God, direct me and teach me. God, don't remember my sins. Remember me according to your love. During my transitions, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer. I've been praying Jesus' prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've been praying my prayer list, not the whole time during the transition. I pray one of these prayers when I transition from activity to activity. My prayer list, I've been, I hope you're still praying over your prayer list. I have 5 names on my prayer list this month at Living Hope. I've been praying for them during a transition time during my day. I do pray in the morning. But I've also started praying during the transitions of my day. Now, what does this look like? Well, I have a part-time job. I work about 20 hours a week cleaning another church, a larger church. And during that time, cleaning kind of a solo job, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to news. I listen to sports. And I listen to sermons. And podcasts, you can kick the sound, the speed up of the podcast to about 3 times of normal. So I can listen to a 30-minute sermon in about 15, 20 minutes. So I can listen to 5 or 6 different podcasts a day during a 4-hour work day. So after each one of these, this is for me, this may not work for you. After I listen to one podcast and I'm about to head to another one, I pause because this is a transition in my day, and I pray one of these prayers. I don't stop moving. If I'm getting something or cleaning something, I keep moving, but I turn off the noise and I just pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. Because it's a time I can remember. It's a transition time. And I've noticed as the more I do this, I go, oh, I'm on to something else. This is a transition. And it's helped me to pray all day long, to connect with God all day long. Not just during the podcast. If I transition from one activity to another, I pause and I pray a prayer. I pray through my prayer list. I'll pray the Jesus prayer. This is quick. This is like a 30 seconds to a minute, sometimes two. If I get into it and the Holy Spirit's leading me, it could be 3 to 5 minutes, whatever it may be. But many times it's just 30 seconds. I just pause and transition and pray. From one cleaning job to the next, from one studying time, when I get home and start studying on reading and planning for church services, when I transition from one time to the next, I pause and I pray one of these prayers. It can even be during a break when I say, all right, I need a break for an hour or so. During that transition time, I'll pray one of these prayers. If I'm going from one place to another, that's a transition. I pause and I pray. You say, what if I forget? You do it the next time. This is not legalism I'm trying to teach today. Before each meal, that's a transition. I pause and I pray. You will have many different types of transitions during your day. And it doesn't have to be out loud. Many of your transitions, there'll be 5 or 10 other people around you at workplace or home, wherever it is. It can just be in your mind. You can pause and transition and pray. It can even be during TV shows and on the internet and playing Minecraft. All right, I played that Minecraft for 2.5 hours. Now I'm transitioning to another activity. So I'm going to pause and pray one of these prayers. I'm going to pause and pray for someone who is hurting. Pray these prayers. Pray over the things that you were doing. Thank God that you got through them. Pray over the things that you will be doing. God, strengthen me. Pray over the things that you learned. These sermons, I stop now that after I listen to a sermon, I stop and I pause and I pray over what I learned during that sermon, that what God taught me. It's a great way to connect with Jesus throughout your day. Transition prayers. So I encourage you to live for Jesus this week. There's a Living for Jesus form in your bulletin. This week, practice praying during the transitions. And look, I'm not being legalistic about this. I don't want to do that many times. Okay, you pick what works best for you and how the Holy Spirit leads you. Ever what transitions, it might be before work. You say, all right, before work's a transition, and then when I get through a work, that's my transition. Okay. When you get through a work, thank God that you got through. Learn from what you did that day, and then pray for direction on your way home or to your next activity. Number two, during the transitions, don't just go, oh, thank you, Lord, and I don't know what to pray. Pray these prayers. Pray these types of prayers. God, I trust you to take care of me. God, direct me and teach me. God, do not remember my sin, but remember me lovingly. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray your prayer list. Come up with prayers that are meaningful for you. Pray the scriptures that you have memorized. Pray the things that you've learned. If you listen to a sermon or whatever it was, or you watch a sermon on television, pray whatever what scripture they gave you. Pray those prayers and see what God does. As you pause and pray all day long, see how God leads you, guides you, directs you, takes care of you. See how those sins are left in the past and how you're experiencing the love of God all day long. Sound good? I hope that helps you. It has helped me, so I hope that helps you. Let's transition the service now. Lord, we transition this service, and we pause and we pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust you to take care of us. Would you just pray that prayer? Say, God, I trust you to take care of me. every man in this place, every woman in this place, every child in this place, every teenager in this place, say, just whisper, God, I trust you to take care of me. At school, at home, at work, I trust you to take care of me. God, we transition now, we pause and we pray. God, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and that you would direct us by your Holy Spirit, by your word, by your church, by the people you've placed in our lives. Direct us, teach us, oh God. God, we transition now, and we pause and we pray that you would forget the sins of our past, the sins of our youth. Don't let those things haunt us anymore. But God, would you remember us lovingly? All your ways, all your paths are steadfast love. It's because of your loving agreement. That's who you are. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you would like for the church to pray with you, I'll pray with you at the altar today. If you need God's help, if God's spoken to you through this message today, and you just need God's help, and you're wanting to be prayed for today before we're dismissed today, we would like to pray with you. I would like to pray with you. So as everyone stands and everybody keeps praying with your head bowed, your eyes closed, singing unto the Lord as we sing, if you need God's help to help you today, would you come and I'll pray with you this morning? Come and let me pray with you today.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when
said you would help us this year, oh God. That's the word you gave us this year, Father, so we lean upon that word. As we go our separate ways, we trust you to help us, oh God. We trust in you that we would not be put to shame. Teach us and guide us in the way we should go. Forget the sins of the past, Father. Have selective memory. And remember us lovingly. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let it be so, let it be so, let it be so. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise his name today. Lord, we lift our hands to you as a sign of submission, O Lord, as a sacred symbol of lifting our souls to you today in humble dependence, O God. We trust in you. My hope is in you. Show me your ways. Guide me in truth all of my days. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.